Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. We're sitting alongside president and founder of the Hoban Law Group, Bob Hoban. Today we're talking about what's on the horizon for cannabinoid extraction, and we are joined by the CEO of Extract Labs, Craig Henderson. Craig, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me on here.
So Craig, tell us a little bit about Extract Labs and where it started, where your passion came from to start this business, and if you would, kind of how things have changed for you in this COVID world.
Yeah, so Extract Labs started in late 2016. I graduated college in 2014. I got on with Apex Supercritical, a CO2 extraction manufacturing company, and my job was to travel the country teaching people how to extract cannabis using, CO2 extraction methods. I bounced all over the country, bounced all over the world. Cannabis became really hot right after 2014, and we were extremely busy. And the whole time I was traveling around, people used to talk about CBD, and they needed more of it, and they asked me if I knew anyone who had it. And then around 2015, hemp started being grown. And really at the time, I don't think everyone knew that CBD was in hemp. There was rumors of it. There was talk about small amounts of CBD being in hemp. And once I found out there was CBD in it, wheels started turning in my head. And I thought, this could be a small niche industry. I think there's enough people out there that need CBD that this might just be a business in itself. Left my job in late 2016 with Apex, had an idea of just, doing some, everything I'd learned at Apex, refinement, extractions of CO2, I figured I could apply that to hemp and produce CBD for the few people I knew that wanted it. I also knew that, people wanting CBD weren't usually, for recreational purposes. It was mainly medical reasons. So I thought it was a really nice way to help people, and I thought it would generate enough revenue to support myself, out of my home. And so I started Extract Labs, started processing in my house, and, within 3 months, the demand was just overwhelming. People were showing up with semi-trucks in my neighborhood trying to drop off hemp, and I quickly had to figure out how I was going to evolve and take this, to the next level. We then, it grew rapidly. We decided to start making CBD products. We saw the demand there, and the CBD industry just blew up, and I never imagined it would be as big as it was. It is today. We've surpassed, my dreams, 10 times with the growth of our company. We now have about 40 employees, and we have two buildings in Boulder, Colorado, where we do extractions, refinement, post-refinement, cannabinoid separation, and our business was built mainly off of CBD, but for the last year and a half, we've been focusing on, what's next? What else do people want? What else can help people? So we've been focusing on CBN, CBG, CBC, and more recently, CBT.
Well, we'll dive into some of those topics there, but let me ask you this. In terms of Extract Labs, do you produce a final retail product, or do you engage in wholesale supply, or a little bit of both?
The original business model was just going to be toll processing, and then I realized farmers didn't want their oil back. Farmers didn't want to pay a toll processor and, take their oil back. Farmers wanted to sell plant material. So I was like, okay, well, I'll start buying plant material. I'll wholesale the oils and isolates to product manufacturers. At that time, I was so small, I didn't know any product manufacturers. And in 2016, I don't think there were a lot of product manufacturers. So I was like, well, if I'm going to buy this plant material turned into oil, I should probably create a product so I can find a way to get rid of this oil and get it out to the people. So our original business model was just processing. Now we do everything. And a majority of our sales retail or product that we're selling into stores. We're in about 400 or 500 stores nationwide with all of our products. We do a lot of white labeling. So we make products for other people, help them out. And then we also just sell oils and isolates to other product manufacturers.
And Craig, I'm wondering, you know, did you have a personal passion that drove you to CBD? Where did that come from? Was it just that you kind of identified that market demand and the, you know, the increase in hemp production in the United States? Or was there something, I'm kind of thinking in the back of my mind about the passing of Charlotte Figge recently and, you know, the influence she had and the, her reach and, you know, her influence in this industry. So I'm wondering if you have a kind of a similar story.
It's a little bit to what you just said. I saw, you know, a demand, but really I was in the cannabis industry. I have never really enjoyed smoking marijuana or THC. I do dabble in it a little bit, but it's just never been something I really love that much. I was in the military and I got out. I was in 4 years active duty, 4 years reserves. I was in Iraq in 2004, 2005. And I saw a lot of people coming home from Iraq and getting put on pain pills, being put on anti-anxiety, you know, and stress medication. And I don't know, they put me on it. I didn't like it. I, you know, just thought to myself there could be a better way. And then the whole time in the military, you know, drinking seemed to be encouraged, but cannabis was discouraged. You know, you were highly punished for even talking about cannabis. So I did more of my research. I never really consumed while I was in the military. But after I got out, I did more research on cannabis. And everything I came across was all, you know, wins and things it could help with. But every time I tried, you know, marijuana, I would get so much anxiety from it that I really didn't see a benefit from it. So when I discovered personally CBD, and it did provide some relief from PTSD, anxiety, without the increased anxiety from THC, it was a big win for me. And I kind of thought to myself, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only person out there that wants to enjoy cannabis but doesn't want to get high from it. And I feel like there are a lot of people that are on the same page as I am.
I would definitely agree with that. And what I note is that you've taken that idea and that motivation and turned it into a company with, as you say, 40 or 40 plus employees. Talk a little bit about how your business has been impacted in the recent 30 to 60 days and how you've dealt with some of those business challenges.
Yeah. You know, when I first, back in late February, early March, and this is getting out of hand with COVID, you know, my first instinct was to panic. You know, I was afraid. I was like, what are we going to do? You know, and just like every other problem I've solved with my company is, you know, how are we going to get across this problem? How are we going to stay in business? What do we got to do to adapt? You know, a lot of people just shut their doors and we were just, you know, without putting people at risk and without, you know, breaking any rules, how can we stay in business and still get people what they want? So we just evolved. We just adapted. We put a lot more money towards our online marketing efforts. We couldn't go to trade shows anymore. We paid for a lot of trade shows this year that we realized weren't going to happen. So how are we going to pick up new customers? And we just evolved quickly. You know, we kept people coming to work, at least all the essential people. We figured out really good methods for communicating non-essential employees outside of work. And things have honestly gone a lot smoother than I ever imagined with regards to all the changes we made over the last 60 days. And sales are up. You know, I heard back in March people talking about online sales being up. We didn't see it, but in April we saw a huge spike in sales. And our wholesale customers, a lot of the people we white label for, are extremely happy because they white label with maybe two or three companies, and a lot of those companies shut their doors and aren't producing products for them. We've been able to make their products and even pick up some more business from them.
So, what kind of procedures? What do you put in place to keep your employees safe? Because this is uncharted territory for so many of us. Running a law office, it's a little bit of a different scenario. People can more easily work from home, and even when people come into the office, you can put simple sanitation measures in place. But how do you take care of your employees in that regard? How do you ensure a safe working environment?
We already had a couple shifts running, so we just further extended that throughout the company. You know, all the salespeople, online marketing people, send them home. But, you know, our manufacturing people and our shipping people, we just spread them out. You know, instead of an 8 or 9 hour day, it's now spread out over maybe two shifts of 8 hours. And we're in two buildings, so we're fortunate enough that even though we have 40 employees, they're spread out over two buildings and two shifts in each building. So really, it wasn't a big problem. Once we, you know, sent about 6 to 10 people home, that left, you know, 30 employees, and we had plenty of room. You know, we brought in a few hand sanitation stations, and just trying to do everything we can to keep things clean, keep people distanced without, you know, hindering production.
You talked about the fact that trade shows obviously have been canceled, and this industry has notoriously built itself networking-wise, product distribution-wise, relationship-wise on trade shows. And those trade shows in recent years have expanded beyond the cannabis industry and incorporated the nutraceutical or the supplements industry and the supply industry. There's so many different trade shows that have embraced, maybe an overstatement, but they've allowed at least people from our industry such as yourself to participate. So that's a big opportunity for you and for Extract Labs to get out there in the world. How do you replace that interaction? How do you replace that networking capability? Or are you figuring that on the fly?
So I'll be honest. I'm a little, just what you just said about these trade shows, there's so many now and they're spreading out in other industries. It's kind of been a relief to not have to deal with all the trade show opportunities. You know, I feel like there's 5 of them a month now. And I always feel, you know, are we picking the right one? Are we not picking the right one? We went to that one the last 2 years. Should we be going to that one again? Should we pick a new one? It's quite stressful and extremely expensive. And, you know, over the years, I feel like diminishing returns. You really have to be on your A game picking new trade shows. You keep going the same ones over and over. It doesn't seem to pay off. So the fact that no one can go to trade shows because they're all shut down kind of takes a lot of stress off my plate. Like, if no one can do this, then what can we do to stand out? And instead of playing in the game where everyone gets the most money you can spend and go to as many trade shows as possible. So online efforts, social media efforts, we've actually been hiring during COVID. We're trying to really beef up our social media team and just beef up our online presence. It's hard to advertise cannabis online. You know, there's a lot of restrictions on it. So you just have to get creative. And, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You just try different ideas on Facebook, different ideas on Instagram, see which ones, you know, people enjoy interacting with. And I think I will be excited to get back to trade shows next year, or maybe later this year. But honestly, for the time being, it's kind of been a relief.
No, that's an interesting perspective, Greg, and that's much appreciated, because so many people have said similar things, but then it's always against this backdrop of disappointment, because that's, you know, been such a big part of what they've done. But that is an interesting perspective. Can you tell us if you did attempt to apply for any stimulus relief funds, and if you received any word on that? Or it sounds like business is good, that you may not have even needed to do so.
We never did apply. I was kind of worried that if we did, you know, I assumed it would all have to be paid back, if not next year, the year after. And I'm really not a fan of debt. I've never taken investors' money. I've never really taken loans, kind of bootstrapped the company. If we can't afford it, we work harder, save up the money, then buy it kind of attitude. So I was really nervous about taking any type of stimulus package unless we absolutely needed it. So we've not applied for anything. I've heard from people applying for these things. Not very easy, but honestly, I can't say.
Well, we're certainly happy to hear that, you know, you guys were in a good position, and seemed like instead of being so reactive, you were proactive, and, you know, using this kind of these new forms of advertising and social media advertising, just getting creative with it. Really happy to hear that, you know, you guys you're making it through this. Well, I want to go back to something you brought up at the beginning, which is something I'm really interested in, which is, you know, there are these other minor cannabinoids beyond CBD, if you will, that are getting a lot of attention now, especially just with the kind of more supply of CBD biomass and kind of the stories you hear about farmers who grew for CBD last year and are just sitting on that material. So interested to kind of hear about, you know, it sounds like you were ahead of the curve on that one too. You're already working with the CBN, CBG, and kind of what you forecast this year for, you know, what are those new trends going to be in the cannabinoid extract space?
I think I guess I'll touch on a couple points. First off, on the farmers, yeah, I agree. I think everyone, I think in 2016, 2017, if you're a new farmer getting into this, you stood a really good chance. Even if you had a bad crop, you were going to come out on top. Now, like you said, in 2019, all the farmers that jumped in, yeah, every time they call me now, I'm just telling them, like, next year, don't grow CBD. Try to find something else to grow. I know there's CBC strains. I've heard of them. I know there's CBG strains because we've been buying them. I'm trying to tell farmers, you know, diversify a little bit. Grow a little bit smaller crop. Do a better job at growing it and try to grow something unique, either high in terpenes or, you know, a different cannabinoid because that's what people are going to want. At least that's what we want. With regards to the new cannabinoids that we are finding, they're, you know, in hemp, it's a lot of CBD, a little bit of THC, and a little bit of everything else. So we spent a lot of time just trying to concentrate and separate those other minor cannabinoids. Now, luckily, like I said, people are growing CBG strains. That makes it a lot easier to process it and get high amounts of CBG. But still with the other ones, CBN, CBC, and CBT, you know, even in the flower, it's less than a percent or even less than half a percent. So we really got to find ways to get that from the oil and then separate it out and try to concentrate it as high as possible. And I think, you know, I think CBD is the big one. I think that's the one that everyone wanted. I'm not sure we're going to see a big CBG craze or a CBN craze the way we saw, you know, a marijuana or CBD craze. But I do think figuring out mixtures, which are going to be hard, you know, if someone's wanting to sleep, what mixture of CBD, CBN is the best mixture, or how much CBN should they be taking? If they're trying to stay awake, you know, what mixture of CBG and CBD is best for that? If they're in pain, what are the right ratios? So I'm kind of viewing it as like a pharmaceutical company would. But, you know, these are going to take years to figure these things out. So all we can do now is try to create these different ratios that we think will work based on the research that's available. And then maybe once we have something that we think works, then partner with a research university. The same way we did with pets. We really wanted to do cancer research on CBD. Human clinical trials were way too expensive. So we did preliminary animal trials and proved that CBD isolate, or just CBD by itself, does kill cancer cells in petri dishes quite effectively. So now we're just trying to pursue that research so we can actually talk about CBD helping with cancer. And I think that that's kind of the route people are going to have to take with CBG, CBN, CBT to really see where it goes. But I think also people are willing to try things. So if you create a CBN, CBD ratio or CBG, CBD ratio, people are willing to try it and just give feedback. And I think word of mouth spreads quickly if something works.
And isn't it though, if you look at the even anecdotal effects of CBN, CBG, et cetera, without scientific or trial-based backing, and you use that as an ingredient in another product that already does it. Let me give you an example. People use melatonin supplements all the time to help promote sleep or restfulness in that scenario. And CBN, as I understand it, is another thing that, you know, goes towards helping people sleep or sleep better. So in the absence of a clinical trial or a structure function type trial that would allow you to make a claim that it supports sleep or restfulness, couldn't you just add it into an ingredient as an ingredient into an already natural based sleep product, for example, that features melatonin and maybe some other things that I'm unaware of. And it just makes that product better. So then all of a sudden you've got a superior supplement sleep aid versus something that you have to tout the fact that CBN helps you sleep. No, it's CBN just makes a sleep aid better. Isn't that good enough for the market?
I think so. At least that's what we're seeing. And we're trying to create something to help with sleep. And we're torn because our first idea was exactly what you just said. Let's mix it with some, you know, maybe magnesium and melatonin. But then part of us is kind of like, well, like, is the CBN actually helping or is it the melatonin? So now we're trying, let's just try to make like a CBN, CBD product, pure cannabis product, and see if people actually get relief. And yeah, I don't know the answer. You're right. Adding the CBN could make the ultra sleep medicine two already good things. Or should we just release a CBN product, and if people want to mix it with other things, they can.
Yeah, I got an interesting question for you here. Just on that research side of things, I know you guys, you know, have a lot of in-house R&D testing different formulations, but I'm curious, you know, given that this is a big year for hemp in the U.S., now we have these interim final rules, you have the USDA involved, you have the FDA somewhere, they're doing something, they're crafting their guidelines. I'm wondering if there's any, you know, research opportunities with higher education or universities, or if we're not really there yet, or, you know, is that something you'd be interested in when it becomes available, if it isn't already?
So again, would I be interested in research with a university?
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%. I would, that would be really nice.
Yeah. And I mean, we've had some different conversations with some folks in Israel, seems to be kind of a leader on the cannabinoid research front. But, you know, I think I've talked to a couple folks at universities who are, you know, getting their toes in the water this year, trying to source different CBD varieties and, you know, enter them into variety trials. Interested if you have any thoughts on, you know, the sourcing of genetics. Do you guys, you know, kind of have different specifications for the flower that you will extract, or do you kind of just accept what's available on the market?
I got really lucky in 2016 or early 2017. I met a farmer in Colorado, had family in Kentucky, and he, you know, was in the same boat I was. He grew in 2016 and didn't know what to do with the flower. And so, you know, he kind of is like, here, just take it, process it, get what you can for it, and split it with me. And then me and him built a really great relationship. So now I pretty much, he works with 50 or 100 farmers throughout Colorado and Kentucky. And then he sends me material. And every year he's trying to develop the next best thing. So like right now, I know he's got probably 10,000 different seedlings that he's, you know, growing. And he's sending all these samples to us just to see if one of these seedlings maybe, you know, presents a new cannabinoid or a different ratio in cannabinoids. So I really just trust him a lot. He does a lot of research. He's constantly trying to just change things. He works with, like I said, a lot of farmers. So luckily, I'd say 90% of all of our hemp comes from him. And then every year, you know, he's bringing us a little bit better stuff, a little bit better terpene profiles. It really has worked out nice. I've heard some horror stories about, you know, other manufacturers like myself having to outsource hemp from different people. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's never what the farmer says it is. So I've gotten really lucky finding a great farm or farmer to partner with.
Absolutely. Well, we're certainly looking forward to see, you know, what this year brings, both on the farming side and then kind of for the consumer market. What are, you know, what will the demand be for these new cannabinoids? I think you hit the nail on the head earlier, though, where you said people just like to try new products. CBD has been out there. CBD is a household acronym, I guess, at this point. And, you know, I think there's certainly a lot of interest for what else is out there. But, you know, Craig, we've really enjoyed having you on and hearing about Extract Labs, hearing about how you guys have really responded well to the COVID-19 pandemic and are doing great. We really thank you for coming on.
Much appreciated, Craig.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure coming on. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hoban Minutes special series on coronavirus and cannabis. You can head on over to Hoban.law for more information on this podcast or the Hoban Law Group. If you have any ideas for subjects that we should be covering or any questions you want to pose to Bob or myself, shoot us an email at media@hoban.law. And stay tuned for the next episode on this special series, Coronavirus and Cannabis.